We next invite Judge Altsney forward to hear the discussion agenda item V. This is an action item, judicial workload assessment, updated workload data, and allocation of new judgeships. Welcome.
Thank you.
And also welcome Leah Rose Goodwin.
We also have Giselle Corey, who's the manager of Capital Programs Office, who's here for any questions if we get to it.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Leah's, I'm Lorna Oxley. I'm from San Diego, and I'm the chair of this group called the SB 56 Working Group. We need to come up with a new name for it.
We did.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for telling me. I now chair a group I don't know the name of.
I'm not sure you want to know.
Oh. Okay.
Resource Needs Assessment Advisory Committee.
Tell them, Dave.
Well, I got to find it. I have to write it down.
Well, I'm sure you'll come up with some acronym like WAFM or... Oh, good. Okay.
We got
well,
one. We got
oh,
one.
Good.
Jibberneck.
Like, remember that.
Jabberwocky? That's what it feels like sometimes. Okay. So while you're telling me what I'm called, I'll give you a little background. I was here last spring, and this group that has a name that I don't know does a couple of different things. And one of them is we look at operational need. And I came here last spring, and we talked to you about that. I'm not talking about operational need today. We're talking about judicial need. I just want to make sure that you understood that we were doing something different today. So in 2007, when the legislature or the Assembly Bill 159 passed, they gave us 150 judges authorized but not funded. And the first were funded in 2007, 50. This is the second 50 that I'm talking about today that have been authorized but not funded. And while Leah's going to put that... It's up. This is the way it looked. If you can read that, I can't. But if you could, the way that these judgeships would have been funded would have been allocated in 2007 using the judicial needs study, and those courts have been told that those would be the judges that they would be given if these positions were funded. What we were tasked to do by E&P is now fast forward to 2012 when we presented to the council a new judicial needs study which was adopted by all of you. What would it look like if the council, if these positions were funded in the fiscal year 13-14 or 14-15, what would it look like if they used the 2012 judicial needs study? And that is the second slide. And what you could see... if you can read that, is that it'll change who gets judgeships. And since it is kind of hard to read, I'll tell you exactly what happens. Three courts would receive fewer judgeships, but at least one judgeship because their workload has declined absolutely or relative to that of other courts, and that's Fresno, Sacramento, and Tulare. Six courts that were slated to get judgeships under AB 59 would no longer receive those, and that's Butte, Contra Costa, Del Norte, Madera, Monterey, and Yolo.
Judge Oxney, excuse me for interrupting. For those who are having a hard time reading, it's Attachment B.
Yeah. Okay.
Attachment B.
As in Victor?
Under
no,
B as in boy. Mm-hmm. To the report under item B. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad I didn't know you had that. And then eight courts would remain the same.
I'm sorry, it's item B.
Everyone find it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In addition, five courts that were slated to get judgeships under AB 159 would receive more. They'd either receive a plus one or a plus two. If the updated needs assessment was used, Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, San Bernardino, and Stanislaus would benefit from that. Four additional courts would get judgeships if the 2012 needs assessment were implemented, and that would be Humboldt, Imperial, Sutter, and Ventura. It's also something that you need to know that the statute takes into consideration the 2007 judicial needs study. So there would need to be a legislative fix to use the 2012 judicial needs study. And we're not talking about the third 50, but I would just add to you to note that if courts that wouldn't receive judgeships in the second 50 using the 2012 allocation would actually get a judgeship in the third 50. So I know that's down the road, but we wanted to make sure that you knew that there would be some additional fluctuation. So then the third alternative that we have presented to you today is to use the 2000 and... The alternative one was to use the 2012. Alternative two is sort of a hybrid, and it's to use the 2012, but it's to grandfather in Contra Costa, who would not get a judgeship in the 2012 model, but would have gotten one in 2007. And there was some promises made, and to go ahead and honor that and to have Contra Costa get the additional judgeship, even though the judicial needs study does not show that Contra Costa needs it, it would to follow along the promises made in 2007. So we have given you those three options. In addition, our group would suggest that if a legislative fix is made, that in the future it be more general, so that the council has the opportunity to use whatever year it wants or allocation that is current, rather than having to get a legislative fix. If you did choose to go with the 2012, have the statute read that use the most current judicial needs study rather than a specific date and time, as we know the needs of the state will keep changing. So we're open for questions. Those are our three recommendations or three positions for you. Justice Miller?
Just so that council knows, E&P requested them to provide us with options. And we gave them the different, in essence, what the options were, and then allowed them to do the mathematical calculation and not recommendations, because, in essence, that's our role. We just wanted to make sure you had all of the facts so that you could choose which particular option you would like to advance.
Judge Rosenberg?
The record will reflect that I waited.
You just passed for a motion.
Yeah. Thank you for giving us options. Options are always good. I would like to speak in favor of alternative number three, and that's staying the course, the current allocation. I personally believe that any adjustments should be prospective and would affect the third or fourth set, and not retroactive, affecting the second or current set. And I just want to give you three reasons why I believe option three or alternative three is the better approach. First, the courts have relied on this 50-judge allocation since 2008. So there's been 5 years of reliance and planning. In fact, the only reason those 50 slots weren't filled, it's a funding issue. They were created, approved, effective January 1, 2008, and then simply not funded. So the fact that the positions weren't filled really has nothing to do with the local courts, no fault of the courts. And I personally think it's unfair to change horses in midstream. For example, there are a number of courts that have courthouses built or under construction in reliance on the allocation in the second set. And I note there's a suggestion that we refer that issue out for further study, but that really is putting the cart before the horse. We should probably do the study first. The second reason is, some of the smaller courts would be impacted if we use the 2012 data. I think a small court can be much more severely impacted than a larger court. For example, losing one judge in a 10 or 11 judge court has a very serious impact versus gaining one judge in a court that has 90 or 100 judges. It's just an economy of scale situation. And finally, I would just note that statistical data that we use is based on averaging. It's all cyclical. It, frankly, changes year to year. What is up today may very well be down tomorrow and vice versa. The 2012 data is based on a time during the fiscal crisis when counties were downsizing staff, sheriff's deputies were downsized, DAs, public defenders. It's quite possible that underfunded counties were hit the hardest. So those are my thoughts on staying the course. If we're going to make changes, let's do it in the next 50.
There's several people who wish to be heard first. So that is first Justice Miller, Judge Rubin, and Judge Walsh.
So I regret now having made that motion, allowing Judge Rosenberg to speak. And I appreciate those comments, and I am sure that there have been plans made in that regards. But I kind of think the nature of what we do is look at the facts and the law that exists currently, and that it would be in somewhat disingenuous to go to the legislature to ask for judges to be appointed within the next year based on statistics now that are over 5 or 6 years old. And I just think it's the nature of what judges do and the nature of what the council does that we should look at the most current statistics. And if we were to be asked that by the legislature, I think we'd have a hard time explaining why things are so different now than they were in 2007. And then having been from Riverside and having suffered the lack of the appropriate number of judges was all because they didn't give us judges when they should have as the population in that area increased. And so I just think we need to stick with what is current. And if we don't get the judges this time and we have to redo the work, you are now an advisory committee. I can tell you your name, and you will be there to reassess. And it may be that they go down, and now the other counties that got two more get one less or something of that nature. But I just think we have to do what is based upon the current and the most current statistics.
Thank you. Judge Rubin.
Judge Oxley, to kind of help some of us resolve the two different motions from Judge Rosenberg and Justice Miller, or not motions, but observations. In terms of the time periods covered, did you just look at a 12-month period, or was there some effort to look at trends or try to even out some of the changes? Or
yeah. I'm going to answer that, if I may.
Sure.
Judge Rubin, so the 2012 judicial needs assessment is based on a 3-year average of filings, and the period covered for the 2012 assessment was fiscal year 08-09 through 10-11. And I do want to address also the issue to rest any concerns of the small courts. The methodology that's used to generate the priority ranking list does account for both a court's accounts for a court's need in two different ways. It's absolute need, its number for judges, and also its relative need. So a small court that only needs one judge, truthfully, that could be a quarter of the workload in the court. In a large court, one judge may have a very small impact on overall need in the court. And those factors are accounted for when we put the priority ranking together. So just to assure the smaller courts that those concerns are factored in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then we'll hear from Judge Walsh, Judge McCabe, Judge O'Malley, Judge Ellsworth, Commissioner Alexander, and then Judge Jackson, and I'll repeat this again.
Thank you, Chief. First of all, unfortunately, Judge Oxney and Leah Rose Goodwin were not here when we earlier moved them into an advisory committee, but along with that motion came a lot of praise for the fine work you've done.
I just
didn't want you to miss it. So you could tune in, I guess, on the website. You can hear all this good stuff about you. On the Waffen subcommittee, we dealt a lot with moving figures, and it's always been a problem, particularly since, as we've studied the filings recently and the decline of some counties, it's clearly economically driven. So it's down now, may well go up again as the economy comes back and there are more police on the beat in a certain county and therefore there's more arrests, more people can afford to hire a lawyer, therefore there's more lawsuits and more divorces. So this is always going to be a problem with RAS, whether it's applied to Waffen or to judgeships. And my concern, and I don't know if there's anyone here at Kripis to tell us, is was the 2007 effort based on some political collaboration or political unity such that certain legislators got together and said, we're for that, and if we start with new counties, would we have to reconstitute it therefore taking another 2-3 years, in which case the numbers will change again, so we'll always be missing an opportunity. That's one question I have. The other question I have is, there's another 50 judges out there. Is there any chance that some of these courts, let's say Contra Costa, would be on that list? And therefore, if we advocate under the 2007 list, it wouldn't be, well, we're wasting a judge in Contra Costa. They're just getting a little bit ahead of the game. And I don't know if either of those are answerable.
Well, as to the second part of the question, I don't have the data right in front of me, but we did run it for the third 50 to see what would happen, and it could change again with courts getting judgeships.
But do we know if, for instance, on that third 50, Contra Costa, who might not now deserve on the second 50, would get one?
I guess
50.
Contra Costa still doesn't now, there were doesn't need one based on the 2012 judicial needs study.
Okay.
Thank you. Right now, they're showing us having the correct number of judges for their workload. So they would not receive a new judgeship, even if 150 more were given out.
Right.
And to address your first one, and there may be other voices in the room who could answer as well, but my understanding was that when the first 50 judgeships were authorized, they were funded almost immediately after that. Mm-hmm. And I think when the AB 159 judges were authorized, the sentiment was that the same would happen, that the funding would come immediately. There was not the expectation of this lag in time. So this is a somewhat of an anomaly that we've been forced to handle.
Thank you. Judge McCabe, then Judge O'Malley.
Thank you, Chief. First, I join in my colleague from the great county of Yolo in his points. I'll note, as a court that's benefited from the legislation, both SB 56 we received two, AB 159 we'll receive two, and the projections is we'd receive another two in the last batch. So we've educated ourselves on this and tracked this as best we can. I would note that the funding list was issued and published at the time of the enactment, both of SB 56 and AB 159. So this branch has presented to the funding sources, the first and second branch, how that money was going to be spent and on what counties. And so there is a reliance factor there, unknown to what degree, but nonetheless, it is there. And I'm concerned about that. I'll also note I really don't have a dog in this fight because my numbers don't change under the 12 statistic. So it doesn't matter to this court. I'm truly, as I should be, speaking on a statewide perspective. Number two, but for the fiscal crisis, AB 159-50, as previously presented, would have been funded and those folks would be sitting on assignment. But for the fiscal crisis, we are here again looking at those 50 and deciding and hoping when they will be funded. So I'm concerned, contrary to earlier comments, that we've made representations to the first and second branch as to how that money is going to be spent, and now we're altering it. And I would tend to say from both a business aspect and a public relations aspect that this be prospectively applied to our third batch, and if there is a motion to adopt recommendation or option three, I would second.
Okay. Judge O'Malley, then Judge Ellsworth, and Commissioner Alexander.
Well, I somewhat have a dog in this fight, but, you know, people that may have planned, and Contra Costa certainly got a new courthouse in Pittsburgh, and that's why we were promised that additional judgeship, is because that courthouse was planned with that judge. But in the last 4 years, we've had to make so many changes with how we allocate our workload, where our judges go, and we're now down five commissioners. You know, that planning kind of doesn't really apply anymore. We've all had to change and adjust. And as much as I would love to have a plus one, I don't think it's the right thing, even though we're down five commissioners, which probably, you know, wasn't accounted for prior either. And our judges are picking up that load. So there's a lot of people on my bench that would love the plus one who wouldn't, to share the load that now has been put upon us by losing some very valuable commissioners. But, you know, we have to apply the facts that are relevant to the situation. My judge would go to Riverside. Riverside, as you just heard earlier this morning, is down 100. So you kind of put that in the formula, and my plus one seems a little bit selfish if I want to keep that. So I understand how nice it would be to go prospectively, but when you really look inside yourself and what the right thing to do is, that's not the right thing. So as much as I would love one, we have to look at the needs of our court statewide. And the more current stats are what we need. Now, are these probably going to be the numbers when we get the money? No. Any of you really think that these are going to be the numbers when we get the money for this 50? No. So my concern, my only concern with these alternatives are, and Lorna had, Judge Alksney had intimated this, is that if we do get legislation, it needs to be more broad. You know, it needs to allow us so that we can, when the time comes, apply the valid numbers and put the judgeships where they are most appropriate. So whether we should have a new list that, again, later is going to have to be revised, which inevitably will probably happen, you know, again, a waste of our time and a waste of the legislators' time. So maybe there should be a motion incorporating Judge Alksney's, you know, concerns that it should be, you know, whatever the new numbers are, the newest numbers are, that are most relevant to the situation, those should be the numbers that this body accepts and adopts, because that's really what will be needed at the time. And that is not the easy thing to do. And for those of us that have to go back to our courts who were getting judges and may now be losing judges, you know, it's the right thing to do.
Judge Ellsworth and Commissioner Alexander.
I certainly appreciate your comments. I think that that is in the spirit of what the group that just finished really wrestling with our funding methodology did things. Certainly, Riverside wins no matter what, whether they get 7 or 9, anything like that. Inland Empire wins. But I think when we make our determination here, we have to do it in a spirit of doing the right thing and not doing it based on promises that someone made somewhere in the past or the notion that people have planned certain things. All of us have tales and stories of commissioners that are gone or courtrooms that sit empty or new buildings that are only half filled or not filled at all. All of us have needs, small courts, large courts, and trying to figure this out has been the task of Judge Oxney's group. And I know her, and I know she takes things very serious and has really labored over this. When we make our decision, whatever it is, we have to remember that our whole vision has been over the chief's time here of making things right and to disband some of the inequities that we have control over. We don't have control over a lot of things. We don't have control over how much money they give us. We don't have control over so many things. But what we do have control over is what Judge O'Malley has just spoken of, the spirit of righting our ship, just like they did with that funding methodology when Orange County and Judge Walsh over here was a great leader. So I certainly think we all have needs, and I would be remiss. You know I'm from Riverside. You know what we're dealing with, but it's not about Riverside or the Inland Empire. It's about trying to make things not a promise or a past whisper or a handshake or whatever. It's looking at current things and being equitable, and that's what our governor's office has asked us to do as well. So, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Alexander, Judge Jackson, then Justice Hall.
One of the things I think is that we, once the judge gets appointed to a particular court, that doesn't change. We don't have a process for moving somebody from one court to another. So, the numbers are always going to change. What's true now may not be true 3 years from now. It may not be true when the budget comes through, but whoever gets that judge is going to keep that judge, whether their workload goes down or their workload goes up. And so there's a disparity that's already in the system where some counties have more than they need, some counties have less than they need, and we have no method to try to balance that out within our own ranks. So my guess is that part of this is what's best to get us convinced to get the funding done. I'm not sure which argument that is, but to get the funding so we have them and to do a proposal that this body decides where they go as opposed to the legislature deciding where they go is the best thing we can come up with, because otherwise we're going to have this every time we come up, every time it happens, because we are never going to be able to shift a judge from a county that has more than the workload says to a county that has less than the workload says. Once that's appointed, that stays in that county forever.
Thank you. Judge Jackson, Justice Hull, and then Judge Jacobson.
No, I don't have to say anything.
Okay. Justice Hull, Judge Jacobson, Judge Rubin.
Thank you, Chief. I appreciate all of the comments that we've had on this subject so far. They're all thoughtful. My concern, in part, is that, number one, the numbers are never going to be static. They're always going to be fluid for many reasons, many factors that Leah and Judge Oxley are well aware of. And so I don't know exactly when we say these are the right numbers, but these are the numbers that we have. And they're studied and they're thought out. And I do have a concern that if we are seen by the legislature as assigning judges to counties who, under these numbers, do not have the assessed need for those judges, that the accusation that we hear so often, and I think in the vast majority of cases, is one that cannot be supported, but the accusation is that once again we are mishandling, and forgive the word assets when it comes to judgeships, but we are mishandling our assets by assigning judges, allocating judges to courts who, under the best numbers that we, the branch, can come up with, don't need those judgeships. And that's of great concern to me.
Thank you. Judge Jacobson, Judge Rubin, then Jim Fox.
I've appreciated the discussion. I'm going to speak with a motion to accept alternative one with modification that on an ongoing basis we accept the most current data available.
Second. That, I second.
Second. One moment. Okay. And I heard the first second by Justice Miller. Then I think I heard the louder one by Judge Ellsworth.
Yes, that would be right.
And I heard one by by Jim Fox.
And point of clarification, Chief, to the maker of the motion, does that mean that most recent data, would that include that once these are funded, that then we go back and have the committee do as of that time?
Well,
a reanalysis?
What I have in mind is that if we were asking for the money today, it would be the 2012 data. It may be that if we're asking for the money in the next fiscal year, we have more current data.
And that's
we should always be using the most current data.
And I recognize it's a three-year cycle up to and ending in 11. So I understood that.
We do it every even year.
Okay.
So we'll be presenting it again to the council, the 2014 numbers. That would be the next numbers that we'd have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I know there are other people to be heard. Judge Rubin and then Judge Rosenberg. It would be the two.
I guess I share Justice Hull's comments, but I thought that Judge McCabe had an observation, and I was wondering if as part of this ongoing effort there wasn't going to be some energy put into reaching out to the legislature to let them know, to the extent that anybody from 07 survives until now, but let them know that while we made these representations to them 6 years ago about it, things have changed on the ground. We're not kind of doing a bait and switch. There's actually a rational reason for doing this, and explain that to them so that we don't get kind of whipsawed the way I think Judge McCabe is anticipating.
It requires an amendment.
And I want to answer. I don't want to speak for Judge PCLC, but I know that in our discussions, what you said is exactly true. I mean, that's what they would do.
Perfect.
In the proposed legislation.
Perfect.
Thank you, Judge Rubin. Judge Rosenberg.
I'd like to make a substitute motion that we approve alternative number three.
there a second?
McCabe, second.
So hearing the substitute motion first.
Yes.
To adopt alternative number 3 on page 2 of the recommendation. I'm going to do a roll call vote right off the bat.
All right, the substitute motion is to retain the 2007 allocation list as the basis for allocating the second 50 judgeships. Roll call of the voting members. Justice Ashman Gerst?
No.
Judge Baker?
No.
Justice Baxter?
No.
Mr. Bonino?
No.
Judge Brandlin?
No.
Ms. Davis? Judge D'Alba?
Yes.
Judge Elias?
No.
Judge Ellsworth?
No.
Mr. Fox?
No.
Justice Hull?
No.
Judge Jackson?
No.
Justice Miller?
No.
Judge O'Malley?
No.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Judge Rosenberg?
Yes.
Judge Rubin?
No.
Judge Stout?
No.
The motion is defeated.
Hearing then the motion as amended, alternative 1, and I understand the amendment to be that in the future to use current, the most recent data for the allocation list for the allocation of new judgeships. We'll also do a roll call.
Alternative 1 as amended.
Alternative 1 as amended reads, adopt the allocation list based on the 2012 needs assessment and on ongoing basis accept most current data available.
And don't put them together anymore.
So,
yes, wait, Judge Baker.
Can we have further discussion on that amendment?
Yes.
I have some concern. I agree in principle with the motion and the acceptance of alternative 1, but I have some concern about the amendment as being potentially ambiguous. And I think some of the comments may have addressed that. And I can see where once the funding is made available, the amendment, as currently stated, may create some controversy and may cause courts to demand, you know, the most current information available. And I'm wondering if the amendment should be more specific so as to indicate, for example, something like the most recent judicial needs assessment. I don't know how regularly these come
about
out.
Every other year. Yeah.
If I may respond.
That's better.
I think that, Judge Jarre, with all respect, you misstated it, my amendment. I did not use the term 2012 statistics, but rather to make the ask with the most current data available and to do that on an ongoing basis.
And he's just adding from the needs assessment study.
Okay.
So alternative 1 means adopt the allocation list based on the delete 2012 and substitute the most recent workload assessment.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
If I could just add some language to make it easier for so we don't get requests.
Please do.
To do some quick calculations. Could you add the most recently approved judicial needs study by the council?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Then we know that it's done.
Yeah.
That's right.
Rather than in the middle.
And you do this.
That's what I was really thinking.
I'll make that friendly amendment.
And Judge Oxney, you do it every other year, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
To ensure,
and then it goes back 3 years.
That's good.
To ensure I have it right, do I correctly understand that the language should be for the amended alternate 1, adopt the allocation list based on the most recently approved needs assessment? Or do we need to have other or different language to ensure that the intention...
By judicial counsel.
By
judicial
counsel.
And it's judicial needs assessment.
Yes.
All right.
Welcome to oral amendments.
Okay. All right. adopt the allocation list based on the Judicial Council's most recently approved judicial needs assessment.
Perfect.
That's the right one.
That's exactly what I said.
Or meant. All right, then. So we'll take a roll call vote. The alternative number one, as amended, reads, adopt the allocation list based on the Judicial Council's most recently approved judicial needs assessment. On that motion, Justice Ashman-Gerst.
Yes.
Judge Baker.
Yes.
Justice Baxter.
Yes.
Mr. Bonino.
Yes.
Judge Brandlin.
Yes.
Ms. Davis. No response. Judge DeAlba.
Yes.
Judge Elias.
Yes.
Judge Ellsworth.
Yes.
Mr. Fox.
Yes.
Justice Hall.
Yes.
Judge Jackson.
Yes.
Justice Miller.
Yes.
Judge O'Malley.
Yes.
Mr. Robinson.
Yes.
Judge Rosenberg.
Yes.
Judge Rubin.
Yes.
Judge Stout.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Ellis. Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
So you can't leave without knowing your name.
It's that's right.
Judicial Branch Resource Needs Assessment Advisory Committee.
There's one vowel at least. Or I can come up with an acronym for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
So speaking of keeping up, we're going to skip our break because I understand we can conclude soon.